very warm welcome to everyone to our first ever episode of the Redemptorist Friendship Circle. So I am Terence, a Redemptorist priest from Novena Church here in Singapore. I'm a co-host of this podcast. And of course, I have with me my co-host. And go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Gerard. I'm also a Redemptorist from Singapore, but not quite in Singapore at the moment.
Yes, yes. So before we actually start the podcast, Gerard is actually recording from a very interesting place. So Gerard, let us know, where are you from?
Yeah, I am in a very interesting place. I'll be for a number of months here in San Antonio in Texas, in the United States.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing a sabbatical renewal program, and I'm studying at the Oblate School of Theology, which is run by the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, a large religious congregation. They are very much connected to us, the Redemptorists. And every time I meet the Oblates around the campus, when they find out that I'm a Redemptorist, they always say, oh, you are our cousins, you are our uncle, whatever else. Okay.
So, and how are you enjoying yourself over there right now?
I'm enjoying myself very much. It was really winter weather last week. It went down to -8. Yeah, this week it's come back to normal Texas winter weather, which is about 10 to 15 degrees. It's been raining cats and dogs the last couple of days. And next week
it'll be cold. Have you sampled all the really strong Texas food already?
Well, no. In the hostel, we get a sort of international cuisine. But a couple of times, we had tortillas and beans. And I still haven't had a hamburger or a steak. That's very strange. So I should try to do something about it.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe at our next podcast, you can bring the food here and we can see, introduce us to some of the Texas delicacy. Anyway, we better start and go to the proper of what this podcast is about. Just so that everyone is in the same page, I'm just going to remind the listeners what we aim to do with this podcast. So previously in our introductory podcast episode, we have already shared with our listeners that we specifically started this podcast with a few aim in mind. We wanted to use this as a platform for us to share with our listeners more about Redemptorist, to really introduce everything Redemptorist to our listeners. We also want to use this opportunity to try to introduce, especially to the Singapore listeners, our Redemptorists around the world, to let everyone know that we are a very global family, all the wonderful works that all our Redemptorists around the world are doing. We want to use this also as a platform to update everyone about what is happening here in Singapore and around the region, so that everyone is also up to date. And most importantly is actually, it will become a very comfortable platform for us to share something about theology, and maybe also to give a bit of catechesis. Basically, we just want to touch about anything that is of concern, anything that we find interesting of current affairs, what is happening around the world, so that we can just very comfortably and use this relaxed platform to share our thoughts and perhaps have a discussion about it. All right? Yeah, anything that you want to add on, Jerry?
Yeah, that's very good, Terence. That's really what we want to do. And I suppose for the most part, we'll be talking about some current issues dealing with the church today.
Yeah, and therefore, we have also brainstormed, and we thought that for this very first episode, it is quite apt for us to bring on a very interesting character among us here in our vice province here in Singapore and Malaysia. Someone whom I believe is very wise and whom we can learn a lot from, and I'm sure everyone agrees with me. And he's very passionate, you know, in some of the areas that I can say that he's very passionate. So we are going to welcome him. So firstly, a bit of drum roll. Okay, so we still haven't had the effect yet. But okay, let us warmly welcome, ta-da, Father Glenn. Doing that for those who are seeing this from the YouTube. Anyway, so Father Glenn, how are you?
I'm fine. Hey, hi, Darius. Thanks for that introduction, okay? And Gerard, nice to see you.
Good to see you, Glenn. Yeah.
So, Father Glenn, we all know you, especially those in Singapore. We know you as Father Glenn, someone who gives very interesting homilies and is always a very pleasant presence among us. But I think that this is also a very good opportunity for us to get to know you better. So before we actually move on to our topic for the day, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself? Just help the listeners to maybe get to know you better.
Thanks, Terence. Just a reminder, there's only one Messiah, okay?
Yeah, but there's a lot of helpers.
Helpers, co-workers yes, in the vineyard. Okay. I would, what you would call a late vocation in those days. When you join about 29 to 30 years old, you're considered an old vocation or late. I worked for some years. Of all places, it was at the Singapore Zoo.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. Even from a young boy, I was extremely interested in nature and birds and reptiles. And later in my teens, I was a member of the World Wildlife Fund. Also, at that time, there was a Malayan Nature Society. And now it's the Singapore Nature Society. I'm no longer a member, but I was a member when I was my teens. And then later, I worked in a government office as a research officer. I was not happy at all. It was a good job, a good salary. Then I saw an article in the Straits Times about the zoo opening. And I thought to myself, I said, am I going to give up all this to join this? Okay. You know, so my father called me mad, by the way. Mm. And it was a much lower salary. I was working in the government office, I had a car. I had to give that up. And I just switched jobs.
Okay.
Even the director of the, or the chairman of the zoo at the time, Dr. Ong Swee Law, who has since passed away, tried to dissuade me. I said, you know, you can join later and all that. You know, I said, no, I made up my mind. And not in the office, I said, I want to go into the field.
All right.
So, started that way and learned more about ecology on my own, even Darwinism at the time.
Okay.
I kept up all this and I found this interlink of this web of life, you know, between fauna and flora, that if you destroy a species or you cut down the trees, you'll break that bond or that web of life. If it's a web, if one strand is broken, things fall not into place. So, sorry, yeah?
No, it just sounds like we can have another episode just talking about this whole thing.
Just, you know. And I made my mind to leave after about 8 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a big decision because I was thinking to myself, maybe God is asking me to do something more. I knew the redemptorist through the school missions.
Okay.
At SGI, Singapore, you know SGI. The Australian Redemptorists were doing like Father O'Neill and Father Russell. And so I contacted Novena Church. I could talk to my parish priest because don't tell anyone, I didn't go to church.
Okay. So my it's parish good priest, sign. Good
my
sign,
parish priest did not know me. So I knew the Redemptorists knew me. So I called Novena, the old church, by the way, you know. So, and they said, Father O'Neill is running a house at Nala Road. I said, what house is this? Gave me the number. In those days, of course, no hand phone, no smartphone. So I called and made an appointment to see him. And as he saw me from SGI, I think I can say this because for the Australians, it could be an affectionate term. He said, hey, you bastard, where have you been?
Okay.
I said, what is this father calling me? You know, it's actually an affectionate term. Cut story short, after another year, I made up my mind to come in and live at Nala Road, and the rest is history. So that's how I was interested from my youth, and also the charism of this order that we are in.
Okay.
I was of course exposed to the perpetual health novena, but I knew the charism at the time to preach good news to the most abandoned. And I was thinking to myself, even at that time, I'll be abandoning the earth. You know, so I saw that as a kind of a final calling. You can put it that way if you want.
So how do you compare working with animals and like now working with people, like, you know?
Very similar. Very similar. No, I'm joking. No, it's different, okay. Of course. We are the most, supposed to be the most intelligent species on this planet. You know, with the will to do bad or to do good. So we could do something for the earth.
But do you sometimes question that? Like,
yes.
Are we really the most intelligent species in the world?
Well, I'll come to that a bit later. In Laudato Si mentions that.
Okay, all right.
Laudate Diem also mentions
okay,
that.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's very good. So as you can see, Father Glenn has this very wonderful history. And actually over here, in rather unofficial, but also in an official capacity, he has been the face when we talk about anything environmental. So more and more, like when there are forums with regards to environmental issues, they generally will come to Father Glenn for some insights. And therefore, that's exactly what this particular episode we are just going to focus a little bit more is with regards to our faith and the environment, perhaps just to invite all our listeners to reflect a little bit deeper with us. What has our faith got to do with the environment? What has the church been doing with regards to this issue? And what can we do from our part? So perhaps maybe a good starting off point, of course, is this encyclical that we, many of us probably would know when we mention the word environment, which is Laudato Si. It's basically an encyclical by Pope Francis in 2015. I hope I got my homework right. Yeah, and that is something that everyone just naturally associate. We just say, we don't even know some of us might not even know the content, but every time we talk about environment, we just say, Laudato Si, are you doing Laudato Si? So what it is all about today, hopefully we can understand a little bit better. So perhaps, Glenn, do you want to maybe give us a very brief introduction into perhaps the background, the understanding of what this Laudato Si is all about?
Yeah, sure, Terence. Thanks. I was in Melbourne at the time when I heard that Pope Francis wrote this encyclical, Laudato Si. I was talking to Bruce Duncan, another confrere in Australia, a social justice fighter, you know. It's Jerry and Terence, you will know him. We were discussing this document, or this encyclical. It's about 190 pages.
Yeah, long.
It's about 40,000 words. It's quite long, but not as long as some of the... It's quite long, actually. But
Yeah.
But it's a good read.
Yes.
And,
without that.
So, you know, it breaks up... You know, well, it's got six chapters. The first one is the problem of our common home. Let's have some crisis in a common home. And then I like this because Francis doesn't put chapter one on creation. On cosmological creation. That's in chapter two.
Okay, it talks about the condition of the world.
Crisis first. And then it talks about the gospel of creation and then the roots of the ecological crisis caused by humanity, I think, chapter 3. And then we have, followed by that, the important chapter 3, integral ecology. It's not only a green document, it's a social document. So... and then followed by the link between the approach and action. And then I think the chapter 5 is on education, social education, spirituality. And spirituality is chapter 6. So he ties up that with the gospel of creation. So it's quite interesting. I mean, I like the way it's mentioned common home and not house, because a home is something you want to take care of.
Okay.
Which is in crisis.
All right. So, perhaps before we go into the details of it, I think my role here is always to ask the question from a more layman's perspective. And that's all I can do, actually. So perhaps in a more down-to-earth layman terms, how can we just have a very general way of understanding what the documents is all about? From what I hear, I feel that what the encyclical is trying to say is that we have a problem with regards to environment, and then what is our Catholic understanding and view with regards to that, and what we can do. Can we just use that as a way to kind of frame the whole outline of the encyclical, or is there a better way to understand that?
Yeah, I think all religions can help to understand this world in crisis.
Okay.
Can be co-creators. As for our faith and what Jerry mentioned earlier on, that there seems to be a dichotomy between in crisis, the world in crisis, and our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So to create an awareness, which I've been trying to do, mostly at St. Ignatius.
Okay.
Collins are very active over there.
Mm-hmm.
So to create this awareness among the people that it all starts from the very beginning of our faith. If you follow the Nicene Creed, or even the Apostles' Creed, Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, everything is visible and invisible. So it's all there in creation already.
So it is trying to say that our faith and our relationship with the outside world cannot be separated. Is that something that we can...
I think the humanist ethos and the preferential option for the poor, which is the cry of the earth and cry of the poor, between these two options, hospitable world cannot exist. They're interconnected.
Okay.
So you ignore one for the other, they'll fall through. It's got to be connected, and everything else is interconnected. That's what basically the encyclical is about. Everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All so right. Going at this the reception again, Glenn, I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Have Catholics been caught in a kind of understanding where faith concerns the belief of certain doctrines, practicing of certain sacraments and devotion, and then we seem not to think too much about issues of social justice and especially about ecology? So has it been difficult trying to put that message across?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have. Elizabeth A. Johnson wrote a book called Ask the Beast, which is based on the book of Job, chapter 12. Mm-hmm. You ask the beast and they will teach you. You know, the birds of the air and they will show you. And all that, written in response to Job. And she says that perhaps, I'm looking at my notes here, theology lost touch with the universe as in the early days, mm-hmm. because we believe that all that, every catechism does not make the doctrine of creation a central teaching, but there is in there. And of all this, God saw that it was very good in Genesis 1:31, all that creation. So there are two things, dominion and stewardship. Chapter 1 is mostly on dominion, I mean, look back to Noah's Ark, bringing two by two of all kinds of animals. Now, domestic animals can be good use to Noah and his family. But wild animals, what use is that? So that is also an important aspect to look at. Dominion is to ensure to their survival. But stewardship is, in the second creation story, to till and to keep the earth. Till is, of course, you cultivate, you plow, to keep, to care for it, look after it. And that's in chapter 2 of the two creation stories, as you know. So that follows up with stewardship. And we don't seem to, I mean, you know, that's part of the theology that is evolving over time. But now there's no option. It's not an option any longer. Because we can't ignore that anymore. As you can see what's happening in the world.
So can we just say that basically, yeah. I think we have had an imbalance in terms of between dominions and stewardship. So we just all tilt towards one side and we have basically human being has always been focusing on dominating
the. You know what dominion has done so far? So
yeah, any good example to tell us how bad our dominating the world have been?
Well,
Jerry, maybe actually the rain that is happening right now, right? You know, like we are having this strange weather now that is like keep having this rain that never stops. Is this probably one of the effect of our dominance?
That's what Laudate Diem is a response to that.
Okay.
Because the answer to Laudate Diem from skeptics was that from time immemorial, thousands of years before this, there were earthquakes and climate change and the ice age and everything. So Laudate Diem responds to that by saying that, yes, but what's alarming to scientists today is that it's coming at an alarming rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's within one generation, and that's it. That comes with COP, by the way, Conference of Parties. If we don't by this 2050, sorry, that's it in terms of the 1.5, degree Celsius, not higher than that.
All right. So maybe we will come back a little bit.
Yeah.
We will just come back to Laudato Si for the time being. Gerard, do you have a following question to what you were asking just now?
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned about whether or not people. Well, first of all, I think with whether or not Catholics see that ecology really is something to do with their faith, and secondly, you know, the questions that some people are asking about whether or not this whole environmental degradation or climate change that we are facing is something real, you know. But I think Laudate Deum also says that these are a small group of people.
Yeah.
But there are some people who strongly believe that the changes that we are seeing are a natural part of the function of the world.
Yes.
But most people don't think so.
Yeah.
Can I just slightly interject? And I actually want to ask... To me, I think it's an important question. So Laudato Si came out in 2015. But what has the church been doing before that? Has the church been paying attention to environmental issues? Or what were the efforts that were being done before that? Or is it like only until suddenly 2015 we realized that environment is an important issue and we should start conscientizing everyone when it is a little bit too late. So perhaps also just to see kind of a historical development, has the church been paying attention to this and have they been trying to tell us the importance of that or maybe it's just kind of like suddenly and we realize that it's time for us to start telling people to pay attention to the environment. So, Glenn, do you have any insights?
Well, okay, the local church first. We had... a conference on climate change, we meaning Colin Tan, myself, the nuncio, Professor Koh from University of Singapore, who is an environmentalist, I think, young fella, very nice chap, and Westwood, what's her name, her first name from Malaysia?
Claire,
that's right.
Okay.
All right. But she couldn't come down because that time was COVID. So she sent a video.
But if it's COVID, it would have been after Laudato Si came out, right?
Oh yeah, that's yeah, oh, yeah.
So
that.
What I'm asking is that before Laudato Si, what has the church been doing in terms? So it's really is that really the case that the church have not really paid much attention all the way up to suddenly 2015?
Let me say something. With our redemption here in Singapore, this goes back maybe 10, 15 years. 15 years. More than that, I think.
Okay, all right.
We had a meeting here in the Gori Room, the old pastoral center. And talking about things, how we can introduce new themes and new ways into catechize people. And I mentioned, I didn't say ecology or climate change. Because it was beyond me by then. But I said, why not bring in creation and all that? And the response from a confrere said to me, Glenn, you're always talking about animals, all that. I said, I'm not talking about animals. I'm talking about creation. Oh, yeah. No, never mind.
All right.
So you can see it's a kind of a, that's maybe 20 years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just left it like that, you know.
As much as it don't sound very promising, it is fair to say that for quite a long time, the church has not really pushed awareness with regards to environment, or at least our responsibility, like what you say, between dominions and stewardship. We didn't see the urgency, or there has not been much push in terms for all of us, the believers, to focus a little bit more on our stewardship to the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So now let's come back to
I think it was part of Catholic social teaching always had an understanding of care for nature and care for creation. So I think it's always been there as part of Catholic social teaching.
Yes.
However, a larger form of magisterial pronouncement in the form of an encyclical, totally dedicated to this topic completely, I think comes with Laudato Si. I think the understanding of using the resources, living simply, caring for the environment and for all of creation has always been a part of the understanding of our faith and the living of our faith.
So perhaps like what they always say about Catholic social teaching is our greatest secret.
Yeah, that's right.
Well-kept secret. So the church have been saying about it, but it's just that somehow we have not found the way to really share it to all the faithful.
And I remember I was helping RCIA here in Novena. Simon Tan was there, and I was doing a program on social documents of the church. And I don't know whether they have it now, but that's also another 15, 20 years ago, you know.
So that brings me to my next question, actually. At least, Glenn, I'm throwing all the questions to you. How do you see the whole reception of this Laudato Si in a global and in a local context? How well have the church, when I say the church, I'm including ourselves, how well have the church disseminate this information with regards to environment in Laudato Si, and how have the reception of this message been in general? So do you have some insights?
This is after Laudato Si.
Yes. So how well has the church really shared the news, and how have the people received it?
Yeah. In 2020 or 21, I can't remember, I got a call from two guys. They were two enablers of Laudato Si, locals, laity. One was from DBS, and the other one is a professional horticulturalist, I think. I can't remember. He said, can we meet with you? I said, yes. I went to his house across the road here at Thompson Road. And we had a meeting there from St. Ignatius Church.
All right.
And he said, Father Colin Tan said to ask you if you are willing to participate in our program, a conference on Laudato Si at St. Ignatius.
All right.
And we, I said, yeah, sure. So we went through a lot of things. And then we started this thing in St. Ignatius. We had two people from each parish. Because in those days, I mean, partly COVID, you couldn't have too many. You had to have, remember, 50 to a room or something like that. So we had two from each parish. Jerome and, I forget who, came from Novena. And we had enablers, we had professional people, architects also, talking about eco buildings and, you know, all sorts of things. Some of them are Catholics, some not. Some overseas on video, locals. And also myself, Colin Tan, and a few people, quite a number of professionals from St. Ignatius. So breaking up into groups and all that, you know. So it was very interesting. The follow-up was a conference on climate change, which we had on Zoom, as I mentioned earlier. Okay. The Nuncio was the first one to introduce it. And then Colin Tan gave an introduction. I gave on Laudato Si a 20-minute presentation, of course, with a teleprompter. And Claire from Malaysia sent a video.
Just to interject a little bit. So these are specific events to continue to bring about the awareness. But I am just wondering, so these are something, how you sense it. Do you find that the general believers, have they, have most of the Christians or Catholic being more aware of these environmental issues, and also somehow they have also responded to it. So my question is more in that that sense. Very, that do you find that generally our faithful is more aware of all these environmental issues and are actually doing something in response to it?
Can I say, Jennifer? The procession we had, I think 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
So Jennifer is, by the way, is someone that is just standing outside.
Can I say that?
Glenn is.
Okay, don't worry.
He's referring to him.
We did a program on Mary, a creation, right? At the auditorium. And myself and Jerome, I think about 30 people turned up.
Okay, all right.
About 30 in the auditorium.
All right.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, that's maybe a start. I do not know. But So I wanted to add the word healing after that, you know? A bigger crowd.
So, it is... is it fair to say that we can still do more in bringing about the awareness and...
Of course.
Our faithful get, there's still a lot of room to grow for our faithful in regards to this environmental.
Can I add something also that Jerry, if you remember, you gave my name to the general government about they had this video on Laudato Si and creation and so forth on this Laudato Si action platform.
Okay.
On Zoom. And the follow-up is, that's how they got my name.
All right.
It's from the Scastri from the Integral Human Development in Vatican. So I've been attending webinars. And also after webinars, there's a community, a Zoom, and they break you up to groups. Of course, I'm in the English group. And it's very interesting to find out from others around the world what they're trying to do, and also they experience the same things that we are experiencing in certain parts of the world, that there's a, you know, kind of a, the people don't seem to be aware. Catholics, I mean.
So maybe at this point is a good time to just invite the listeners. So if any of you are still very unaware of the church's push for environmental issues, so perhaps to just, there's a lot of activities out there. There's a lot of avenues out there to actually get to know all these things a little bit better. So we just invite you to get involved and or look for Father Glenn. And so I'm sure he will be very happy to share more about all these things. Is it okay if we just...
I think what happens, Glenn, now at the moment is I think the church is involved in a lot of the exercise of conscientization, isn't it? And I think that's a process that requires a lot of patience because we're really trying to put across a message or teach something that maybe is not in the ambience of most people, you know? And so... when we try to put across something that may sound, I think, new to people, then you know, we have to be patiently moving forward and trying to do what we can. And I really must commend you, Glenn, because you've been attending all these meetings coming from the Dicastery at the Vatican and also being involved in some talks here in Singapore. So I think that's really a wonderful perseverance on your part, you know, to put across this message of the church's teaching.
Yeah.
So in a way, that kind of brings me to my next point is that, like Gerard was saying, that whole pick up of what the church is trying to share, it always takes a lot of time. And so about 8 years after Laudato Si, the Pope Francis came out with another apostolic exhortation, and which is Laudate Deum. I roughly scan through the document and the first sense that I had from the document is that you can see a little bit of frustration, like from Pope Francis saying that after so long I'm telling all of you and things don't seem to be improving. You can almost sense a kind of frustration there. So I'm not sure whether I'm reading the document correctly. So maybe Glenn, you can give us a little bit of an introduction or at least an idea of what this document Laudate Deum consists of.
Thanks, Terence. First of all, I did explain that Laudato Si means praise to you, Lord.
Yeah.
It's taken from, of course, St. Francis of Assisi's Canticle of the Sun. Laudate Deum is praise God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a follow-up from Laudato Si. I don't think Pope Francis is happy about the progress.
Yeah.
It talks about the global climate crisis. He doesn't use the word climate any longer. Mm-hmm. It's crisis.
Okay.
Then a growing technological, paradigm. Mm-hmm. He's for AI, but if AI develops to such an extent, they'll find out more ways to dig more for the natural resources of the world, and you know there's not a bottomless pit.
Yeah,
they have more advancement to dig up. That's the thing about he's not happy about, but he ends up with a spiritual motivation.
Mm-hmm.
How to bring this back to creation again? And talking about creation, Jennifer just reminded me that we did a Gospel of Creation one evening here at Novena Church. And it was quite a good turnout. That run was, yes.
Yeah. So can I also... is it fair for me to say that the document, basically, this time for Pope Francis, is putting more awareness on people who should be taking more responsibility, and he is calling them to exercise their responsibility. So I see that the documents he kind of really do address the people that can make very more impactful change. It's not saying that he's neglecting that all of us can play our part, but he is really kind of pinpointing to the people that says that you should be making some effort or some changes with regards to environmental issues and I'm really calling out to you to actually make that change. Is it correct to say that?
Yes, I think so. It's more in comparison to Laudato Si. Mm-hmm, I think it's about only 8,000 words.
Yes. It's a very readable document, document. I realize that.
Yeah, you're right. And he talks about the lack of progression with the Conference of Parties. which actually began, I think, in 1992, I think, in Brazil.
Okay, which is the COP meeting.
The COP, COP. A few nations signed up. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it multiplied to such an extent until COP 28. So, to do away or phase out fossil fuels, but that was, it ended up by saying that it's in transition. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means, because the Middle East, you know, it's all about fossil fuels over there. Mm-hmm. So, they're trying their best, I suppose. But there's no time, you see.
Yeah. I remember also reading about Pope Francis. It's actually, I thought this document was quite interesting because at least from my experience, this is the first time where he talks about actual events, like all the meetings. He was also describing the different meetings. Yeah. And he even indicated, I believe, soon after this document came out, that he wants to attend the upcoming COP meeting, which is the COP 28 meeting, and I believe it's in Dubai. But unfortunately, he fell a little bit unwell during that time, so he couldn't make it. Right.
Yeah.
So there were a fair bit of media reports about this, but I'm not sure, Glenn, if you have some insights to that. Like, what do you think if Pope Francis were to be able to attend, what do you think that the impact would be, and what his absence from that meeting has actually affected the future development with regards to environment?
I think wherever a pope goes, a pope, any pope, it always draws attention and people listen. But whether to carry out what is being said, that's another matter. They respect him, of course. But he sends, as you know, a cardinal to report. It's based on Laudate Diem, actually, to the people. And I hear they applauded, and you know, but that's it. Whether the countries there carry on with whatever has been decided, that's another matter. And that's what Pope Francis and it's upset about. It needs one more generation, that's all. I think Singapore is very much aware of it. They sent, of course, a big delegation with quite a number of youth.
Okay, all right.
With Grace Fu, who's the Minister for Sustainability and the Environment.
Okay.
So that was quite promising.
However, much has been said, Glenn, you know, about the effectiveness of some of these international bodies, COP conferences, even the United Nations. A lot of all the countries in the world almost are part of these, and they sign off on these, agreements, you know.
Yeah.
And then there are so many things that they are called to achieve. And there's been criticism that, in actual fact, they can sign off on these agreements, but they don't necessarily have to do it. And there are many countries in the world who have their economic interests tied in with fossil fuels or a certain kind of industry that is producing a very large amount of carbon emissions. Isn't this one of the big frustrations happening in our world today?
Right. Because there are 5 points of COP 28. First is, I think, phasing out fossil fuels. Second is global stocktake, how we've been progressing so far. Third, I think, is loss and damage. And this is important because the poorer countries can't afford to phase out fossil fuels because their life depends on it. The wealthy countries who have polluted the air should have a fund to help these poorer countries, the damage that's been done. And I think there's $100 billion, which is definitely not enough. In the fund now. And then after that, you've got the finance. And the fifth one, I think, renewable energy. And that's what most countries, developed countries, are trying to get into. You know, hydrogen and fuel and, you know, EVs and electricity and all that, and phasing out fossil fuels of coal and oil and natural gas. Takes a long time, but don't have the time. That's the problem. So these are the five points of COP 28. And that's a concern, actually. So I think some are really trying. Some have got benefits and are to lose what Jerry you mentioned earlier on, some countries. So the big countries got to play a major part, I think. Anyway, they got the resources and they got the money.
And they also, because they have the resources and the money, they are the ones who are producing the most amount of emissions through their industry and lifestyle.
So that's what the poor countries are saying. And Singapore is part of a small group of vulnerable islands.
All right.
And Singapore is financing that to a certain extent too. Because Singapore is very vulnerable. Islands are disappearing or can disappear in the next 20, 30 years.
Actually, Glenn, can I just ask, I'm not sure if you are aware, how much is Singapore, or how well are we doing with regards to environmental issues? Like, are we producing a lot of environmental waste in Singapore, our industry? Are we causing a lot of pollutions? Where are we at in terms of the problem, the global pollution?
Well, it's rather beyond me, but I know they're going to increase the carbon tax quite a lot. Mm-hmm. They're phasing out quite a few other things, but they're going into renewable energies.
All right.
And just talking about that, off the cuff, I think there's a book by Bill Gates.
All right, okay.
Quite new, I think 2022. He starts off by saying two numbers you got to remember. He gets it from the scientists. 50.1 billion tons of greenhouse gases and zero. Every year, there's 50.1 billion greenhouse gases is pumped into the environment.
Uh-huh.
We have to reach zero.
What's zero?
Zero. The number.
Uh-huh.
Must go down to zero.
Zero. So from 50.1 billion tons.
Yes. He gives two numbers, and zero is a number.
Okay.
So, and also it went down, dipped down in 2020 COVID by about 3-5% only because no activity.
Okay.
So all that's what he starts off the book with.
So even COVID could not get rid of all
a very small amount of it. Yeah.
Hmm. So it seems to be like a very depressing reality.
No, but it's an answer to that.
Okay.
Technology.
All right.
Renewable energy.
Okay.
But the advancement of that can phase out, or hopefully phase out, some of these fossil fuels. And then it will really go down more and more and more. Yeah.
But did not Pope Francis just mention in Laudate Deum that we should not be relying too much on technology as the solution to the environmental problem?
He's talking about AI.
Okay, all right.
AI can go much more deeper into that, beyond human.
Okay.
What he's concerned.
So perhaps we can rein it in a little bit and now just kind of focus onto the local situations here in Singapore, especially for the general faithful. So as I'm sure many of our listeners, after hearing all these things, the final question always is, what has it got to do with us, right? So what am I supposed to do, or what are the things that I should be aware of? So perhaps let us just focus on that a little bit more.
Okay.
So what do you think for anyone right now, after hearing what we have said, I hope they make sense out of it. But what's the next step that they can actually do to kind of like continue to help them get to be more aware of this whole issue?
Okay, just very briefly, it's not my idea. It's from Laudato Si, actually.
Mm-hmm,
very, trees inhale carbon dioxide.
Okay.
And exhale oxygen. Humans, just the opposite. If you cut down all the trees, how long do you think humans would survive? Or animals? If you remove all humans, trees will flourish more as they did thousands of years before we came on the planet.
Yes, definitely.
So to give an idea why it's so important for us, a very simple idea. Or not idea, it's actually a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
mangrove trees are flayed, we found out, they take in more carbon than ordinary trees. And we have deleted in Singapore almost 90% through ignorance. But now we're trying to build... I heard that Indonesia is planting more mangrove trees now.
Yeah, but for a general person, I mean, a residence in Singapore, it's not very practical to go and plant a tree, right?
No. Not just it's an idea.
Okay, I understand.
It's just a concept to why we're so important to preserve.
Okay.
And before, we had this, the Presbyterian
mm-hmm.
asked us, I mean, the Colin Tan and myself, that time was on Zoom,
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
present to them, all the parishes, all the priests were there, mm-hmm. on the climate action conference that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And this was presented by this enabler, Terence Yong.
Okay. Good name.
But we interjected and we shared through it. This, you know?
Okay.
Right.
So what is that for the listeners?
This is a conference debrief telling the parishes how to get into action.
Okay,
and
all
if
right,
they need
right.
us to present to them,
okay.
they can almost invite us.
Okay. So give us a very brief rundown or some very practical...
The agenda to the Presbyterian is how did we cover this thing? What did we cover? What did we discover? Where to from here? And how can we support you? Question-answer.
Okay.
So it's all enough to see, points, you know, the goals, you know, response to the cry of the poor, the seven. I don't want to go into that.
But
26 churches represented.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, 2,000 YouTube views.
Okay.
10 experts and specialists, visual and physical assets. So, a few parishes have responded since
mm-hmm.
then. But not all. And how do we present them to this Laudato Si action platform? And what can the parish do? Yeah, or through awareness and conscientizing the people that... You don't have to go and do anything. You know, I mean, just be concerned about your lights in your house, save water, that sort of things. Recycling,
mm-hmm.
these kind of things. Don't waste food.
Yeah. So that's the thing that I find a little bit, quote-unquote, frustrating for me also.
Yeah.
Because you hear all these big ideas, and then you hear all the call for change. But when it comes to personal response, it seems like the only thing that you can do is like do a bit more effort in recycling, be a bit more aware of the energy consumption. That seems to be all that we can do. So I'm just wondering from a more personal, every day-to-day, everyone's responsibility, is there something more that we can actually do?
You can. If you have the interest,
uh-huh.
you can always walk into the Ministry of Environment just down the road here.
Okay.
They've got a lot of programs you can join.
Okay. So you kind of need to get yourself out there and join certain things.
And we did have a kind of a twice cleanup.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Novena Church. Follow up from our auditorium of 30 people.
Yeah. I think I need to do some
Saturday,
of these programs.
We went to we had to get the NParks permission first.
Okay.
And we wanted to go to East Coast, but that was booked up.
Okay.
So, Bishan, we went and cleaned up. We provided the gloves and the backpack and all that. Yeah.
So maybe just for the listeners, for those who are in Novena Church, I just want to tell them that there will be some activities in this year, in 2024, with regards to environment. So please watch out for it and please respond. You know, after listening to this, we will definitely have a program when or where, we will give you the information at a later time. Okay? Yeah.
I think one thing that Pope Francis is really saying in the two documents, Laudato Si and Laudate Deum, is really calling from every Catholic a sense of conversion.
Yeah.
Because the real issue at stake is people's lifestyle, isn't it? The way that we choose to live. And we might think it's a small thing to go to a supermarket and say, that's okay, I don't need a plastic bag, you know? Today alone, I managed to turn down two plastic bags, you know, because I was carrying my backpack with me. And Nala Road, Glenn, when we do our community shopping, we don't use plastic bags. We use reusable bags, and we recycle all our plastic bottles and cans. I think also Laudate Deum had spoken about the use of minerals, and particularly silicon and lithium were mentioned. Because these are being mined at huge quantities for the production of technologies. Yes, so all these gadgets that you have, and so when you see an advertisement for the latest phone, and now my phone is now one or two models outdated,
it's
a great temptation for us, kind of economic power, we have to go and buy it, no? And so two things. Right. One is more stuff has been used to make the phone, and then the next thing is what has happened to my old phone, you know, where does that go?
Exactly.
So I think lifestyle is one of the big changes that is asked of each person.
That's that's part of the seven objectives by Laudato Action Platform, by our conference, General Government.
Okay.
That's number four, the change of lifestyle. And you're right. It's a rampant individualism and a throwaway culture. That's it, the Laudato Si. So conversion,
I'm just giving an example. The other day, Father Eugene, he reminded me of something, and I started really doing that. He was going around with his water bottle, and I was saying that why are you bringing that? He brought it into the confessional room. And he was just saying that I have decided never, or at least in my capacity, never to use what do you call the mineral water bottle. As long as I can use my own water bottle, I will not use another plastic bottle, so that that's my contribution to the environment. And I thought that's a very practical something that we can always do. And I also try ever since then to just bring my water bottle around try to reduce the usage of
it's the small things that count, you know.
Yeah.
When I was living here, when I go in the evening sometimes to tapau, I bring my own container to Hans. My own container. So, this sort of things. Yeah.
So I think when it boils down, it really, like what Gerard was saying, that we need to be aware of our whole lifestyle. I mean, lifestyle as in choices for technology, our gadgets, and also like simple little things. I think like for example, like use your own water bottle.
Right.
Don't use plastics and all this. It might seem small, but when more people does it, it kind of have a accumulative effect to it. So
we're creatures of habit, you know. Once we start something, we can used to it.
I remember I decided to stop getting plastics because one day I just decided to clean my room and I just collected all the plastics that I have in my room. It just piled into like this big ball of plastic bags. So that was a wake-up call for me. It is how much I can actually save. Yeah.
About a year ago, I realized simple thing like this, like, you know, when I print something, on my printer.
Yeah.
And then I realized, why don't I use the other side too as well?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You know, and that made me think to myself, then, okay.
All right.
The other side as well.
Yep,
so out of four papers, two.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of thing, small things like that, makes you think a bit.
Maybe as an activity, we can just ask any of our listeners, if you think of simple ways to change our habit that can save the environment a little bit, just leave your idea in our comment section in whichever platform that you are at, so we can all of us can perhaps, you know, have some newer ideas as to how we can actually make a change in a simple day-to-day manner. So perhaps before we bring all of this to a close, any final practical advice? Just,
I will leave you with perhaps, I got it down here, perhaps 10 takeaways.
Oh, 10? Oh my gosh, okay. From everyone, please bring out your pen and paper.
From Radha to see, okay.
Yeah, okay, all right.
It may offer hope to, you know. First, okay. I think the spiritual perspective is now part of the discussion on the environment.
Okay.
There's no dichotomy. There's no option.
Okay.
Secondly, the poor are disproportionately affected by climate change. Rich countries and church must act.
All right.
Third, ecological education on climate change to be taught, especially to be part of the curriculum in schools, which it is now, I think, including the planting of trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then fourth, Catholic social teaching now includes teaching on the environment.
Okay. Yep.
Five, discussions about ecology can be grounded in the Bible and in church tradition. Six, everything is connected, including the economy. There are no returns from a dead earth.
Yep.
Seven, scientific research and technological innovation for cleaner energies to reduce carbon emissions to zero emissions for environmental protection to be praised and used.
We need to pray for that.
Widespread indifference and selfishness worsen environmental problems. Nine, global dialogue is needed, and also in dialogue with people of other faiths for the common good. Mm-hmm. And lastly, what you said, a change of heart or lifestyle.
All right. Okay. So, Gerard, do you have any advice from your end?
Well, yeah, I think I really go with the aspect of lifestyle, you know.
Yeah,
I think how we live our lives. And it's about things that we buy, you know. Do we need the latest version of any technological device? And you know, I have, you know, temptations, you know. I got this,
of course,
little Bluetooth speaker. And I'm, once in a while, I'll think, okay, I can get a better one, you know.
But this works absolutely fine. Better.
Yeah, maybe. You know, and my phone is an iPhone 12. That's now 3 or 4 models outdated. It still works fine. I like it. It's a smaller one, you know, which now they don't make anymore. So I guess there are so many temptations with buying things as well. And perhaps the last thing for me in a change for my own self was clothes. Now when I'm living away from home, all of my clothes are fit on one shelf. You know, on one shelf and on about 12 hangers. And that includes winter clothes, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm living fine with this amount of clothes. Why is it at home I have more? And so I think in my own travels going around, because I've been lucky to go on some missionary trips, you know, and spend time away lately. And I've got to go with one suitcase or just two bags, you know. And I find that I can survive. It's much less than what I thought I could. So I think these things help to make us think about what is it we purchase and what is it that we need.
Okay. All right. So thank you very much. I think that is very practical. It's definitely a challenge, but I think it's something that all of us should really think hard and seriously about. Okay. So before we end this episode, I just have a few announcements. Firstly, actually, if you are interested to know more about Laudato Si and you do not want to read the 40,000 document, 40,000 words document, there's actually a very nice documentary that is out there on YouTube. You can actually search. I'm not sure if Glenn is aware of that. It's called The Letter, A Message for Our Earth.
Yeah.
So you can just go to YouTube. You just search The Letter, A Message for Our Earth. It is actually a document about how Laudato Si, this encyclical came about and the reflection about it. Yeah. So it is a very nice documentary. So please go and check it out if you have not already.
Can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. There is a, I think, 2014 you call it kind of a documentary, 2014, by children.
Okay.
Titled Saving My Tomorrow. There are actually five parts.
Okay.
You can get on YouTube, I think
so. So we are going to put all these links in our
Saving
our
My
episode.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so yeah. So you will. You will be able to actually
you get,
just...
You celebrities promoting it, but children are running it.
Oh, cool. All right. And also an update of what is happening here in our church.
Yeah.
And we are currently having our 9 weeks novena in preparation for Easter. And the theme this year is a very beautiful theme. It's called A Journey with Jesus, His Redemption for Us. So basically, we are journeying through... we are reflecting about the whole period of the Passion of Jesus and the different elements and the symbols that comes out during this period of Jesus's Passion death, and we will use that to reflect a little bit more about what it means to go through the preparation time of Lent and what it means to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus in the celebration of Easter. So please come and join us if you are in Singapore, to come and join us in our 9 weeks novena. If you are overseas, you can still join us online. Our novenas are on YouTube, and if not, you can also follow us on our the preaching through our podcast. So now everything is on the digital platform, so any of you can just follow us in whatever way that you are comfortable with. All right. So any final words before we say bid goodbye to our listeners? No? If not, thank you very much, Father Glenn. Yep. I'm sure very soon we will be hearing from you again. And
thank you.
Jerry, any final words before we say
thanks
goodbye?
Thanks for joining us, everybody. And I hope that this podcast will continue.
Yeah.
And of course, we work on ourselves and we try to be better. But thanks so much for joining us. And we look forward to more episodes in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, so good night, goodbye.
Good morning,
God
good
bless.
Night.
And Gerard, enjoy your cold weather. And introduce to us some nice food or drinks in our next episode. Okay?
All right.
All right, goodbye, everyone.
Thanks, Jared.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye.